Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we'll be talking today about a development going on in Mike Pence's home state of Indiana. Very important development, a bill being introduced. In fact, it begins in a historically startling, significant way. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, an announcement for this Friday night. Fred Williams, my co-host for 10 years of Real Science Radio. So many people over the years, when they get to meet Fred, they look forward to it because he's so fun. He's so jovial. What a fabulous personality. He's always upbeat. And Fred will be speaking in person in Denver at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. So I just can't wait for Friday night, 7 o'clock, RMCF. And if you'd like more information about that, you could go to their website, youngearth.org. Youngearth.org. Get the details and come on out Friday night to meet Fred Williams in person. There's always a lengthy Q&A session after the monthly speaker has completed their presentation. So I think you'll love it and you'll love meeting Fred Williams. Okay, now, I'd like to read to you the synopsis of the draft legislation being introduced to the Indiana General Assembly, and it's being sponsored by Representative Kurt Nisley. So let me read to you the synopsis. Protection of life repeals, and this is the shocking part, and we'll have to talk about this with a local expert who is working with the introduction of this legislation from Hoosiers for Life, but Protection of Life repeals the statutes regulating abortion. Now, that's amazing for pro-lifers to do this. Repeals the statutes authorizing and regulating abortion. Because all the pro-life abortion regulations, they also reauthorize abortion. Finds that human physical life begins when a human ovum, a woman's egg, is fertilized by a human sperm, asserts a compelling state interest in protecting human physical life from the moment that human physical life begins, redefines human being for the purposes of the criminal code to conform to the finding that human physical life begins when a human ovum is fertilized by a human sperm, makes other conforming changes. So what an honor to have with us, so we can understand all this, the executive director of Hoosiers for Life, Amy Schlichter. Amy, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you, Bob, for letting me come on and talk about this. Hoosiers for Life has been working very closely with Representative Kurt Nisley in District 22, trying to abolish abortion in Indiana.
Wow. So not just regulate it, not provide exceptions, but actually abolish child killing.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you for your work, Amy. I know as the executive director of Hoosiers for Life, and by the way, the website, it's the number 4. So Hoosiers for Life. People not from Indiana might not realize that people in Indiana refer to themselves as Hoosiers.
That's a very good point. I did have someone ask me last week, what is a Hoosier? And I found that really funny.
Yeah, so, right. Yes. When you live there Hoosiers. Or you've worked there or you know anything about basketball, everyone knows that Hoosiers are people who live in Indiana. But
yes.
But anyway, okay, super. So the reason I said that the bill begins in such a historically dramatic way is that the first part of this bill, it's repealing all kinds of laws that pro-life organizations, well-meaning but I think misguided, have put on the books over the decades. So you guys begin, and I say you guys because you were involved in the drafting of this. Is that correct, Amy?
Yes. Kurt and myself and there's several others, we have formed a team of people that have looked at this very closely. We have come to the table and decided what exactly we wanted to do here in Indiana. And then with some outside help, we had the bill drafted up, and we're pretty proud of it. We think it's quite beautiful, actually.
Yeah, and you know, one thing about our system, we have the opportunity to teach people the truth and principles of justice and the difference between right and wrong as we're battling these issues. So it's a legislative battle. It's sort of like watching sausage being made. It could be very ugly, but in the process, we can teach people right from wrong. So this bill, and by the way, the name of the bill, could you give it to us, the number?
Yes, it's HB 1134, and it's called the Protection at Conception Bill.
Okay, so House Bill 1134, Protection at Conception Bill. It begins by repealing the definition in Indiana's criminal code of abortion clinic, because when you define abortion clinic, right away they're excluding children killed in hospitals. And so that's rather counterproductive when you're claiming that you want to stop abortion, but in the law you make exceptions for children killed in our largest medical facilities.
Correct. If you look under the Indiana Code, Section 35, one of the first things our bill does is it acknowledges that that whole section is basically naming off various kinds of crimes of murder. Mm. And then so you look down that list and then you see abortion and we strike that out. So basically what Indiana has done is they have acknowledged that abortion is murder, but they have given an exception. So in that code, prior to us striking it out, it says, you know, under all of these circumstances, these crimes are considered murder, except for abortion. And so that's one of the first things that we get rid of.
Except if you intentionally kill the baby in a hospital, for example. Also, you guys strike a section of existing law, and these are laws that were supported by National Right to Life and a group named AUL, Americans United for Life, and Focus on the Family, and many other groups. It's a section on consent. And I'm looking on the internet at American Right to Life's website. They have an article on abortion regulations and why regulations backfire. And they point out that regulations keep abortion legal. And an example they give is from the Indiana Code, Title 16, Chapter 2. And this is written by pro-lifers and passed by pro-lifers, and it's titled Informed Consent, Requirements for Performing an Abortion. And it says, abortion shall be criminal except when the woman has filed her consent. So these are reauthorizing and regulating so that even if, say, Roe v. Wade nationally was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court, which seems like a pipe dream. But if it were, abortion would still be legal in Indiana by the pro-lifers' own misguided efforts, and you guys are now repealing the consent regulations, and you go on. I go through this bill, it's stunning and it's very encouraging because medical emergency, you repeal that because there are these excuses people come up with for intentionally killing a child. And you would never intentionally kill the mother to save the baby, and neither would you ever intentionally kill the baby to save the mother.
So I absolutely agree. Yeah, I read an article not long ago, a pro-abortion standpoint, and the author of this article was talking about how the pro-aborts love pro-lifers with exceptions because they essentially are giving the pro-abortion community a stronger stance by saying we have exceptions for rape and incest and life of the mother. And when pro-lifers do that, it increases the case that the pro-aborts have because it's basically saying that the woman has a choice and that the woman's right to her health is significantly higher than the child's, which basically says that one life is more valuable than the other.
And well, it effectively says that the baby is not a person because even within the Roe v. Wade decision, which was immoral, unjust, a violation of human rights from way back in 1973, they pointed out that if the if the fetus was recognized as a person, the case for abortion collapses. Yet all kinds of pro-life groups and even states that claim to be against abortion, they make exceptions. And so they argue that if the baby is a person, you can't have an exception that says, well, you can kill that innocent person under these particular circumstances. In fact, right. The founder of the National Abortion Federation herself, NAF, her name is Frances Kissling, she wrote a couple columns in the Washington Post where she said that all these regulations, they actually help keep abortion legal because they make abortion look reasonable and humane.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Let me mention a couple other bills, misguided, well-intentioned perhaps, but misguided bills that are on the books right now in Indiana that would be repealed by this legislation from Representative Kurt Nisely. Parental consent, which is horrific. If parents consent to kill their child, then it's legal. I mean, mm-hmm. The absurdity of that, it's hard to overreact to the absurdity of that. And there's a series of memes. I don't know if you've seen these memes, Amy, but they're a takeoff on the current crisis with ISIS around the world, the Islamic terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. And they're urging regulations to be put on ISIS, like to anesthetize before a beheading.
And oh, my goodness.
But it's only meant to be ironic and show the absurdity of the idea.
Right.
How absurd it would be to say that ISIS should anesthetize before beheading a child.
Mm.
And there's another one, urging ISIS to get parental consent before letting a minor join. I mean, you can recognize the absurdity of it all. Then the Indiana Code goes on to deal with partial birth abortion, which has been a fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
Because the partial birth abortion bill and the U.S. Supreme Court upholding it, they say it depends on how you kill the baby. Just kill the baby in a certain way, and then it's legal. And you guys also repeal aspects of how old the fetus is, whether you could kill it or not, which trimester, viability, and so on. So I think it's courageous, Amy, Representative Nisely, to introduce mm-hmm. This bill.
Thank you. We think so as well. I mean, Kurt especially has just carried the ball on this, and he does a magnificent job. He is one of the most pleasant men I have ever met. He walks with integrity and is just very passionate about life in general. And so we're very proud to be working with him.
Mm. Yeah, just awesome. So, and finally, maybe this is the last part of the bill regarding repealing previous misguided efforts that I'd like to mention. Maybe there's a couple of them. One has to do with fetal anomalies. Another has to do with, well, even Mike Pence passed a bill, which we thought here in Colorado, and, you know, we're 1,000 miles away, but we notice. When he passed, he signed his bill that said that if the abortionist knows the only reason for an abortion is for sex selection, then that abortion would be illegal. And we thought, how absurd, what a distraction, what a waste of time.
I also agree. And it's very hard as a life organization to come out and say that I'm not in favor of that bill, but I truly am not. And when I say that it's hard, it's because people generally don't understand. They just hear that there's a bill that's about non-discriminatory abortions, and, you know, it's supposed to, here in Indiana, they called it the Down syndrome bill.
Right.
So individuals assumed that now all of a sudden all Down syndrome babies can't be aborted. They read through that bill several times, and I just saw the massive loopholes in it that really, after I read it and put it down, my first thought was, I really don't believe this bill saves a single person.
Yeah, not one child, but and so often they backfire and they give the high moral ground to the pro-aborts. And so in this particular case, they look to the abortionist to enforce when he can or cannot kill a baby. And who's going to ask for the sex selection part of that bill? Yeah. When is the abortionist going to say, well, the only reason for this abortion was because it was a girl, not a boy? I mean, when is the abortionist going to say that? As though there are no other conceivable reasons.
Absolutely. And easily a woman could walk in and fill out a form that basically says, you know, why are you wanting to have this abortion? And she can mark the box that says, because I want to.
Right, of course.
And the abortionist can go ahead and perform his service.
So, Amy, and we're speaking with Amy Schlichter of Hoosiers for Life, involved in the introduction of HB 1134, which would truly protect life. And it starts out, we're only at the beginning of the bill, where it's repealing the existing horrific statutes. But Amy, it would be like if we were in Germany and the Jews are being slaughtered and we want to get certain people elected, so we introduce bills that would have no effect whatsoever on Jews being gassed in concentration camps, but it makes us look like we're the good guys. And so it's a distraction, and it's a distraction that at the cost of innocent life, because yet more years pass without any progress towards saving innocent children. So one more section of law that you guys repeal is these annual abortion clinic inspections, which to us, these are absurd on their face, because it would be like, again, in Germany, like there's going to be inspections of concentration camps like Buchenwald and Mauthausen and Auschwitz. And you let the abortionists say, like Planned Parenthood say, well, we passed the state health department inspection. So obviously, we're members in good standing in the medical community. It's simply, it pretends that children are not being dismembered. That's what these regulations do. And they backfired now since 1980, when Ronald Reagan became president, and he offered to help National Right to Life pass a human life amendment nationwide to stop all abortion. And they turned him down and they said, we'd rather take a states' rights approach. So here we are 37 years later, and National Right to Life is opposing all the state level efforts to ban all abortion. So whether to ban it nationwide or ban it in the states now, and it's been just almost 40 years since Reagan was elected. And so they seem to have like a 200-year plan for ending abortion. And that's simply unacceptable. And it's immoral.
Yeah, I kind of tend to think of myself, and unfortunately, as a glass half empty kind of person. And maybe it's a good thing and this aspect, because even though Indiana Right to Life, and I would think it's commonly said among pro-lifers in Indiana that our abortion rates are going down and we've done some good work. While it has, I still look at the number of loss. I don't tend to look at what has been gained. And in some aspects of my life, that's not a great thing, but I think for this organization where I'm headed, or where I'd like for us to go, I think it's an absolutely great thing. And my focus is on the average 22 children that die every day in Indiana. Mm. So you can tell me that you know, it may not be 25 anymore, but now it's down to 22. But to me, I still focus on those 22. And I feel an emotional connection. And that's another thing it's probably not always a great thing. But in this case, I think, again, it's extraordinary that I look at these children as if they don't have mothers and fathers. Mm. I mean, for their parent to agree that they their existence has no value here greatly burdens my heart. And so I try to mentally step into that gap and
picture myself, that I'm the parent. Let me make a comment, an observation about the two points you made about the glass half empty and about the emotional connection. You know, when blacks were considered property, folks who had an emotional connection to the plight of black men, women, and children became the heroes who fought for abolition and the heroes who manned the Underground Railroad. So thank God for the Corrie Ten Booms of the world and the people who see the injustice and have an emotional connection to the innocents who are being slaughtered. So thank you for that. God made us so that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's part of what it means to be a human being, humbly submissive to our Creator God. And as far as the glass half empty, you know, when they say, oh, look, we're winning, only 22 kids are being killed in Indiana per day. What does that add up to? 8,000 babies killed or so by surgical abortion in your state?
Yes.
Well, there is, years ago, I interacted with an analyst from the Heritage Foundation, and I wrote up a report on it, and it's on American Right to Life's website. It's listed on their homepage, the Heritage Foundation Flawed Report, and they talk about surgical abortions down, and they cite the reasons they claim pro-life regulations. And our paper and my interaction with Dr. Michael New, who wrote these reports, the argument that they present is fallacious at so many levels, including for the fact that there has been an explosion of chemical abortifacients, an explosion. Mm-hmm. There is a Dairy Queen in Indiana, and I'll just give this as an anecdotal piece of evidence. The manager, the guy who ran it for 15 years, called into the show and said, Bob, I don't like to hear it, but I hear the high school students talking when they come into Dairy Queen to get their blizzards. And you hear the high school girls talk, and they talk about Plan B, the morning after pill, and like they pop it like it's candy or like they're vitamins. And they get them over the internet even. And so there has been an explosion in the numbers of babies aborted via chemical weapons, basically.
Right.
Chemical abortifacients. And so for some reason, there's been a pretending by National Right to Life that because surgical abortion numbers are down somewhat, we're saving these kids when women are killing these kids with other methods. Why do they think by lying to themselves and lying to their donors that that's going to help? Obviously, it's not going to help.
No, it doesn't help the cause, but I think you said the word, and maybe I shouldn't go here, but you said donors.
Yeah.
And I think that, and you know, one of the things I don't like to do is talk about other organizations that are, you know, working towards the same thing, but one of the things that I've noticed in the pro-life community, and generally most of them support Right to Life because they've been around, they have the rhetoric that they're doing something great, and you know, many people that hold signs and write checks and support Right to Life are genuine, loving people that want to stop abortion. Mm-hmm. But I think it's leadership in this organization that has realized that abortion is an industry, and I have been very cautious about going there. But, and again, I'm not talking about the donors. I'm not talking about the people that support Right to Life.
But it's nice of you to make that distinction. I think it's often true that people who give money to National Right to Life don't realize that they have a 200-year plan for ending abortion. They don't realize that they have a plan that's simply failed at every level for decades now at ending abortion. They don't realize that. But you know what? We all have a responsibility. and the Christians who lived when blacks were being sold like cattle in America, they were responsible. And the Germans, who just tended to ignore or really did almost nothing to stop the slaughter of the Jews, they were responsible. In fact, in the Bible, Amy, and we only have another minute, so we'll give out your website again. But in the Bible, God says when an innocent person is killed, and it's not known who killed that person, measure the distance from the corpse found in the wilderness to the nearest cities or villages. And whichever town is closest, I'm going to hold them responsible, because it's the community's responsibility to protect the innocent. And here we have in America millions of Christians who seem to be able to tolerate child killing infinitely. And if they just donate to a Republican for office, they think they've done their part. And half the time, the Republican is pro-abortion, like even Donald Trump says he doesn't believe the baby has a right to life as a person. So that's where we're at. So, Amy, what's the best website to keep in touch with what's happening?
Yeah, it's Hoosiers for Life, and it's with the number 4. So Hoosiers with the All number right. 4life.com.
Well, what an honor. A while back, we had Rudy Guerrero on the show. That was fabulous. Now we get more information from you. We'll stay in touch. May God bless you, Amy. Hey, have you seen Real Science Radio's video, Evidence Against the Big Bang? It's available on DVD, Blu-ray, or download. I think you will love it. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. Over the last 25 years, Real Science Radio's science predictions have had an uncanny way of coming true. Now with this video, Evidence Against the Big Bang, and Real Science Radio's popular online list of evidence against the Big Bang, we invite you to join the 21st century's surprising revolution in cosmology. Our goal is for millions more to be able to answer correctly and with confidence the number one most important question, where do we come from? This video will help us toward that goal as you watch this and enjoy it and loan it to others. When people wonder what evidence exists for the Big Bang, many ask Google, of course. And not surprisingly, when folks search for evidence against the Big Bang, Google sends many of them on over to Real Science Radio and our online list of evidence against the Big Bang. Yet this is surprising. When NASA urges you to trust the theory because of its predictions, folks who Google Big Bang predictions also find Real Science Radio's article ranked number 1. This video is available at our website, rsr.org. Just click on the store and browse our science department, or by calling us at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-8-ENYART, or 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278.